You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I'm your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me today, the man, the myth, the great black hype, Mr. Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I had a wonderful weekend. It was phenomenal. We had our second TV taping ever in Wichita, Kansas at a location called The Cotillion, and it was amazing, man. It was amazing. I sent you a bunch of pictures. It was just crazy. It was absolutely crazy, man. First thing I want to talk about is how many times do you think I messaged you with just random stuff over the weekend? Probably 20 times?
Quite a few. Quite a few.
Oh my god, man!
I get it. You want I get it. You want somebody to go through that with you. I understand.
Yeah, dude. Like, you're my boy. You weren't able to be there. Hopefully, in the near future, you know, we're gonna be in Texas more often and stuff. I know there is a show in September that in San Antonio. How far is San Antonio north of Houston? Do you know?
It's northwest, and it's about 3 hours.
Okay. So we're hoping that maybe you can do that jog up to San Antonio and me and you can stay together a couple of days and record some episodes and enjoy some wrestling together. But anyway, you weren't able to be in Wichita because, you know, it's only like 25-hour drive for you. No big deal. But you weren't able to make it, so I texted you like 20 times because you're my boy. You and I are living out our dream, doing this wrestling journalism thing, and you know, I work for World Class Revolution. You know, I'm the publicist here. I'm also kind of an intern in the commentator world. And last night I was actually doing camera work, or excuse me, Saturday night I was doing camera work. But some of the stuff that I got to do was just absolutely phenomenal, man. Let's just go down the card, dude. Let's just go down the card. So, we had a debut, a World Class Revolution debut, by a man by the name of Niles Plonk, NilesPlonk, and he faced Riker, who is a mainstay in World Class Revolution. They put on a phenomenal match, man. Have you ever heard of Niles Plonk? He wrestled with MLW that was in Kansas, but they didn't have a national TV deal. So I don't think his name has gone national yet, but dude, you got to watch out for this guy. He's a wine critic and he kind of sticks his nose up at people. It's just hilarious, dude. It's hilarious. But dude, second, I don't want to go match by match because, you know, this was a TV taping, so I don't know necessarily if everything will be in that order, so we're not going to go match by match, but I just want to say, dude, I just get to thinking about it and I almost just get flustered, man. It was just so emotional for me. We started off the night, I think, a couple of matches in, Matt Stryker was on the card. And Matt Stryker came in, and he told the crowd before the bell rang, he said, I just want to thank every single veteran out there. It's Memorial Day weekend. This is for y'all. I love all you guys very, very much, and I appreciate the sacrifice y'all made. And then you see him look around, and he found me on camera in the corner. And he made eye contact with me, and he mouthed the words, "Thank you, Jordan." You know, me and Matt rode in together earlier that day. I picked him up at the airport. I got him to the hotel, which was about a 20 minute drive. And we really got to chat for a little bit. And then we hung out at the hotel for a couple hours. And it was just, dude, when he told me that, it was just real, it made me real emotional. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. By the way, happy Memorial Day, man. I know that's not necessarily for the living, but happy Memorial Day, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. But, dude, you know how it is, man. We've talked about it on the show before where there were several instances where you hung out with Booker T, and it was just, you know, to you, it was a big deal. But to Booker, it's just like, oh, that's my boy Ray. You know what I mean? It wasn't a big deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just another guy.
Yeah.
Maybe it was their meet on a daily basis.
Right. And so, you know, I got to hang out with Matt for a couple hours. He actually told me, and I told him, yes, that when I had to leave, it was because I was going to pick up MVP. And he was like, you know MVP good? And I was like, well, we worked together one other show. And I said, hopefully he remembers me because we didn't talk a whole bunch that time. And he said, he told me an inside joke to tell him. And it was about politics, so I won't get into it on the show. But he told me a political thing to tell MVP. So I go and I pick up MVP, right? And I tell him the joke. Well, first off, I seen him. And I was like, hey, man, I don't remember you. Of course, I don't remember you. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but we hung out in Gainesville. I worked for World Class, and he said, starts with a J, and I said, Jordan. And he goes, yeah, that's it. So, dude, just the fact that freaking MVP, he didn't remember my name, but he remembered the letter J. So I was like, man, that is so freaking cool, man. I end up hanging out with MVP longer, just one-on-one, than anyone else because we went and ran a couple of errands. Him and I rode to the venue together, snuck them in the back door because it was already a line. There was already a line of, I would say, 150, 200 people outside the gate at 4:15, 4:30. So an hour and a half before the VIP entrance opened, there was already a huge line, which was just phenomenal. It shows how fast we're growing as a promotion. But I actually got to tell MVP, you know, it's not a secret. To the people out there that listen to the show on a daily basis, it's surely not a secret to Ray, my boy here, one of my closest guys on earth, that I got in trouble after I had surgery January of 2016 to have full reconstructive surgery on my hip following an injury that had to do with multiple things, wear and tear from when I was in Iraq in 2008, running, being a firefighter paramedic, being a flight paramedic, just wear and tear, right? After years and years of wear and tear, I had to have surgery. I ended up getting addicted to my Oxycontin. They gave me 120 Oxycontin 30s a month for 6 months. So after that was over, I was done. I was hooked. I was buying them off the street. At times, I graduated to harder and harder stuff for a long time. I eventually got arrested, had to do, you know, a couple nights in jail. I eventually got clean. It took me multiple trips to rehab. I'm not going to say how many because it's embarrassing, but we'll just leave it at multiple trips to rehab before I finally got sober. But anyway, once I got sober, I looked at MVP, you know, been a fan of him, and I'm like, you know, this guy spent a freaking decade in prison for attempted armed robbery. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he made the best of it. He got out of prison and he said, you know what? I'm going to change my life. He got out and did his thing and reached the pinnacle. I think me and you agree, and most people on earth agree, that in wrestling, the pinnacle, you know, you reach the pinnacle whenever you get to the WWE. And then when you are main eventing in the WWE, right?
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. So in mind of your eyes as fans, like, he reached the pinnacle, and this was after he had gotten in trouble. You know, he was in gangs at a young age. He went to prison. He got out and he made the best of his life. And you know, that makes him, you know, a real hero in my eyes, because, you know, I'm trying to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was real cool. And I got to tell him that. So I told him this whole story about how bad I was off and, you know, how bad I was off on drugs and how I'm clean and sober now, and how I spent time in jail and stuff. And, bro, he looked me right dead in the eye and said, Jordan, it is truly humbling to hear you say that. He's like, I appreciate that more than you'll ever know. He's like, I've had other people tell me that, you know, they were in prison and they turned their life around, and it's good to see someone like myself, who spent a long time in prison, you know, become famous and popular and get to use my talents on a worldwide stage after being in prison. He's like, but it's for someone else in the wrestling business to tell me, you know, that I made that kind of impact on them. He said, that's truly humbling. And dude, I teared up when he told me that. It was just absolutely phenomenal, man. It was just, oh man, I can't even think straight right now. You know what I mean? Do you have a favorite MVP match in WWE? If you could think about it.
Wow, MVP match. The 2 out of 3 falls with Benoit was really good. One where he beat him 2 straight falls. That was Backlash after WrestleMania 23. Yeah, that was the pay per view afterwards. The pay per view after was the pay per view. Second pay per view afterwards, but. Yeah, that was a great match. Anything with MVP and Matt Hardy was tremendously interesting.
So did MVP and Matt Hardy, because you know, most of MVP's career was in that space of time where I wasn't watching wrestling full time.
Okay.
So I still caught a lot of his career, but the bulk of his career, actually, I did not watch live.
Okay.
So I did not know that he had he beefed with Jeff Hardy. So they had a pretty good feud, I take it, Matt Hardy.
That's basically what he's known for.
Really,
in WWE, it's his feud with Matt Hardy. So you know, the whole MVP character started as he was being recruited by Teddy Long and would show up every week and would be like, "I'm not coming." And finally, when he got signed to the quote unquote biggest contract in SmackDown history. Because of the recruitment, and they kept putting him against jobbers. And they were like, no, we can't do this. So Kane stepped up, and he had a big feud with Kane and lost an Inferno match and all this stuff. Because him and Mr. Kennedy were teaming together, fighting the Brothers of Destruction, and that's how they started. Anyway, fast forward, MVP is the United States champ, right? Like, MVP really, they really gave him, like, they were putting him against main eventers, Kane and Taker and Booker and Batista. Like, he really was getting, like, some shine when he first debuted. But he starts feuding with Matt Hardy. And in real life, he was diagnosed with a heart disease.
Wolf Parkinson's White, correct?
Wolf Parkinson's White disease. And the significance of that is that's the first significant thing that the new wellness program found. So had they not put that wellness program in, there's no telling if they would have found that or not. So that's a very significant thing for in terms of the wellness program. But anyway, so if he couldn't wrestle, but he was still on the shows. So him and Matt Hardy, every week they were so competitive against each other. And this is face Matt Hardy, right? This is after Lita left him and he's a baby face Matt Hardy.
Okay, and MVP is a heel at this time, I take it?
Yes, cool. Yes. And they just they proceed to have contest after contest. One week is a pie eating contest. One week it's a who can eat the most pizza. One week it's a basketball game. One week it's a push-up contest. One week it's a chess match. Like weeks just going back and forth, and it's just really entertaining. And they even ended up tagging together, winning the tag team championships, at which point MVP became the only man with 3 halves. Half man, half amazing, half of the tag team champions. Only man with 3 halves. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And finally, you know, Matt tried to win the title. And MVP kept sneaking away and Matt got hurt. So at WrestleMania 24, in Money in the Bank, you know, that's the Money in the Bank that Jeff Hardy was supposed to win before he failed a test, failed a drug test, and got suspended. So MVP at the end of the match, MVP is up at the top of the ladder by himself, thinking if he's gonna win the match, and Matt Hardy comes out of nowhere, out of the crowd, twists the fans up the top of the ladder, and then Punk ends up winning that one. That's the second one back to back he won, and finally Matt Hardy beats MVP like a month later. But it was like a 7-8 month feud.
That's really cool. Now I've seen that Money in the Bank when he comes out of nowhere and Twist of Fates. Right, that's what he did off the ladder.
Yes.
Was a Twist of Fate. Yeah, I've seen that. That was really cool. That was really cool.
They really did everything. They at Saturday night's main event. At Saturday night's main event, when they're still having that, Matt Hardy fought when MVP was still dealing with his heart problem. Matt Hardy faced Evander Holyfield in a boxing match.
What?
It was supposed to be MVP versus Matt Hardy in the boxing match, but because of his heart, he couldn't do it. So he called his good friend. Remember, MVP's gimmick was he's a top-level athlete. He called his good friend Evander Holyfield, and Holyfield proceeded to beat the holy hell out of Matt.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was, man, it was, like, those were the good days. Those were, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but those were the SmackDown 6 days, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It was, like I said,
maybe
that was
a little after that?
Maybe a little after that.
Yeah.
So
SmackDown was a tremendously entertaining show.
Now, is that in the time frame, the SmackDown 6 and everything, that went down while Paul Heyman was the head writer, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, all in all, would you call MVP's career a success in WWE?
MVP could have wrestled one match as a jobber and never came back, and it'd be a success. Because where that man was, to be able to make a living doing his dream... I mean, MVP's history was so, I don't want to say bad, but so much so that he couldn't even go on overseas tours at first.
Right.
Because he's a felon. And they wouldn't let him out the country. You know what I mean? Like, so for that man to go through what he went through and become almost a top-level star in WWE, and yes, he didn't reach the heights he should have reached, for whatever reason that is. Yeah, backstage stuff, him not timing, whatever it was, you know. But yeah, his entire career is a success. I mean, if you want to talk about non-WWE stuff, he's the first IWGP Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, I was going to. We're going to talk about that here in just a second.
Yeah, the belt that everybody holds in such esteem,
mm-hmm.
You know, that Suzuki has now. Yeah, MVP is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
main evented, it's that belt main evented Wrestle Kingdom either 9 or 10 instead of the say again?
No, it was Wrestle Kingdom 7 or 8.
Oh, was it 7 or 8? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Instead of the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, it was the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. That's how... high esteem that title is held.
It was Kingdom 8, and
gotcha.
Well, eight. That's another conversation.
Yeah, I know the Stardust Genius, was not over and was vying for the title against Okada, was it? And so,
Tanahashi.
Or was it Tanahashi? Yeah, and yeah, so there was a fan vote, and the IWGP...
No, it was Okada. You're right. I'm sorry. It was Okada.
The IWGP Intercontinental title won the vote. But, I mean, still, the simple fact that you know, it was put up to vote...
It made it vented, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And a lot of that is owed to Shinsuke and where Shinsuke took the belt from after he got it from MVP.
Right. I agree. But the reason I asked all that is because... While MVP and I were in Starbucks, we stopped and had a coffee at Starbucks and stuff. And while we were chatting, he said he was telling me about, you know, I left WWE when I still had a year left on my contract. I had a contract on the table to extend it for 5 more years. And I asked him, hey, no, can I have my release? And he said they were real good to him. They were like, you know, yeah, leave, go do what you do. And then come back, and you'll probably even be a bigger star because you'll have time away and come back to a huge pop and stuff. And he said the whole reason that he left was because he wanted to go to Japan because that was always his dream. And he
said, "That was his dream."
Yeah. Yep. And most people say, and this is him talking. He said, most people go to Japan first, try to make a name for themselves within the wrestling circle, and then get to WWE. He said that he did it backwards, and that was literally his goal, was to use WWE. When he got to WWE, that was immediately his goal. He said, I'm going to use this as a platform to go to New Japan. And he said, he goes, do you watch New Japan at all? And I said, well, bro, I didn't want to sound like a mark, but yeah, I watch New Japan, and I know that you were the first ever IWGP Intercontinental Champion. And he gave me a little fist bump. He's like, I like it, bro. And he MVP fist bumped me, dude. So it was really cool. Yeah, I hope that you get to meet him, dude. He's just real cool. But I will never in my life forget where he looked me dead in the eyes and was like, Jordan, I truly appreciate that. That's very humbling to hear. Said my name.
It's crazy. You know? It's crazy to think they haven't met him yet, seeing as we both live in the same city.
Right, yeah. And since, you know, you're a huge wrestling fan, I mean, you've met Booker T, you figured that you would have met MVP at some time.
Well, okay,
you know
so I mean? There's meet, and then there's been in the same space. I've been in the same space with MVP quite a few times. I've just never met the guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. There you go.
So that's a different thing, right? Like,
you never did the whole, hey, I'm Ray, you know.
Yeah, like, how you doing, man? Good to meet you. Or I've never spoke to the dude. But, I mean, I've been to a bunch of the shows Booker T's ran that he's been at, you know. So, like, I've been in a space with him. I've just never had the chance to actually talk to him.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. I'm sure you'll agree with this, that Booker T's probably the same way. I've never even been in the same area as Booker T, but... I figure Booker T is like this. The MVP is one of those guys that it's cool just to be in the same room as him, just because he brings this aura about him, and just getting to hear his voice in person, you know what I mean? Because you know how smart he is and everything that he's gone through in his life, same as Booker T. I figure Bernard Hopkins, you know, he's retired now, but the boxer. The executioner, Bernard Hopkins. Anyway, I figured he'd be the same way. Just the guys that you know are smart, and you know they've had so many issues, you know?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, let me say this. And this is no diss to Booker. If anything, this is just bigging up MVP even more. But MVP is probably even cooler than Booker, because Booker has so many responsibilities. You know, he's a commentator for WWE, and he's the owner and promoter of a decently big company, and he's trying to run for mayor. That Booker always has to have this air of this air of, you know, regality around him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get a chance to talk to him and pass all that BS around, and it's just Book, he's cool as hell. But you don't get a chance to see all that all the time, because it's always having to be he's always having to be Booker T and not Book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
MVP is always MVP. From everything I've heard, whether he's wrestling, whether he's in Japan, whether he's drunk, whether he's on the bus, whether he's not riding the bus, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just always him. And I like, and again, that's not a diss on Book, because when you have responsibilities, you have to be different.
Hey, you got responsibilities, yeah. Right?
But to your point about MVP and Book, and even you to an extent, for the listening audience, I need y'all to understand. First of all, people make mistakes. But when you come from the areas where me and Booker T and MVP came from, you know, and I'm not going to put myself in there as deep as they, because they had it a lot worse than I did. Because I've been, the high school Booker T went to, my high school was across the street. And kids in my school got jumped every day from the kids from his school. Every day. Like, they would come and surround our school and have locks on their fists and jump and beat up everybody. So, like, I know what it is. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
When you come up in that environment, you know what I mean? I realize that you would hope that people would make better decisions, but sometimes you're not faced with the opportunity to make a better decision, you know, and you make a mistake.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easy to judge people for the things they've done in their past, but you can't judge a man by his worst day, because then we all would fail that test.
Yep.
Judge them by their best and how they treat people. And if I can say anything completely, the way Book and the way MVP treat people, is tremendous. So who gives a damn what y'all did in the past?
Man, I truly appreciate you know what I mean? That. That's so but awesome you say.
I know there's people out there that, you know, look at them weird because of what they went through. So what? You know?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't hurt anybody. Thank God. And they realized very quickly the error of his ways. In fact, if you listen to MVP's story, MVP never wanted to do it. I don't even think he knew they were going along with it. You know? So, like, it happens. Be smarter. And Now there's a whole generation of kids that both those guys can talk to and say, look, man, I made the mistakes you had. You see the tattoos on my arm? I got those in prison. You want that? No. No, you don't.
Yep.
So be
true story, man. True story. That's very, very awesome words to hear you say, man. That's very awesome. MVP, dude, just a total class act. And I just wanted to, and there's plenty of other stuff, you know, that he said to me privately, a couple of things, you know, I told you, and it's not that, it's not that he said anything bad that I wouldn't, you know, that he wouldn't want me to say. He never said, you know, never really said, he didn't, I know for sure he never said anything that wasn't uplifting and stuff. It's just some stuff I just want to keep personal. You know, like I said, I told you a couple of things before we went on air that he had said to me that really, you know, really, really touched me, you know. And like I said, you know, I got emotional when Matt Stryker did what he did. And, you know, I got emotional again talking to MVP, you know, not to the point where, you know, MVP was like, yo, bro, what the hell's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Why are you crying at Starbucks, man? But it was, you know, I did, you know, it was like just touching to me, you know, hearing him say the uplifting stuff. I even, you know, I talked to him and I was like, he's like, so you work in the ring? This is when we first got together. Because like I said, we only spoke for a little bit in when we met the first time in North Texas. And I was like, no, man. And I, you know, I told him about my back and stuff. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted, I want to work, but I was like, you know, I'm in a great position. You know, I've been welcomed so wholeheartedly into the wrestling business, you know, and I get to write about wrestling. I get to have this radio show about wrestling. I told him, I said, I have my boy Ray that I spend like eight to 10 hours, you know, every 4 days talking about nothing but wrestling. And I was like, and he's one of my closest friends. And, you know, I was just like, I would hate to put that in jeopardy, by trying to become, you know, a wrestler. And I said, that's always something that I've wanted to do, but I'm in such a great position now. I don't want to be taking away from the work I'm doing now to focus it on other stuff. And I had already told him about my back stuff, and he was like, ma'am, he said, look at Hulk Hogan. Look at this stuff. He's had so many surgeries, and he's got to carry around a thing that looks like a cell phone now that stimulates his back at whenever he needs it. He said, all he did was a leg drop every night. That's it. He never took no big bumps. And he said, you're already behind the eight ball. Is that what you want to be like? Or do you want to do what you're doing now and you get to, you know, hang out with who you want to hang out with and you get to write what you want to write and talk about what you want to talk about and you ain't got to take bumps? And I was like, man, that's a good point, bro. That's a good point. I was like, you know, different people have told me different things, but I was like, you know, it's so nice to hear a consummate professional that's been around the world tell me like, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Don't risk it by starting to take, you know, 50 back bumps in a row in wrestling school. And he said, well, thank you for calling me a professional. And he's like, but if you ask anybody that's wrestled full time, they would probably tell you the same thing. So even when I complimented him, like, he's still just a humble guy, you know, but,
taking bumps are so fun though. Well, let me change that. Okay. But let me change that. At a certain point, bumps are fun.
Right.
And then, like, after you take, like, three.
Right.
Then I'm like, all right, I've had enough of this.
Later on, I picked up Juvito Guerrero, and I picked up Simon Gotch, who goes by the name of Simon Grimm now. And dude, those two guys were cool too. We rode from the airport to the hotel together, which was, I think it was 25 minutes. And so I got to hang out with the three of them, or the two of them. They were really cool. And then I went back to the airport and I was picking up Lisa Marie Barron, which is AKA formerly known as Victoria in the WWE. And for those of you, if you can't place her, she's the one that did, her finisher was called the Widow's Peak, right?
The Widow's Peak, one of the best female finishers ever. Yes, let her move.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. Yep, perfect. Yep. And so Hoovy wanted to ride with me to go get Lisa. And dude, Lisa, I just, matter of fact, I just tweeted a picture right before we started the show. I tweeted a picture that I took with Lisa. It was so cool. We were talking about doing the fist, you know, the fist pose. And this is what I said on the tweet. I was like, the fist pose. She was like, oh, you got to do the fist pose. You work in wrestling. You got to know how to do the fist pose. And it was just so cool, man, just having a conversation with her. She is a Cubs fan. So when I picked her up, she had her Cubs hat on. And I was like, this is the first time I've ever.
From Chicago, isn't she?
I think she's from California, but she lived in Chicago because she owned a restaurant. I could be wrong. Okay. She could be from Chicago, and now she lives, but I just know she lives in Los Angeles, or she lives in San Diego now. But okay. She did live in Chicago, so for all I know, she's from there. I'm not sure. But anyway, she's wearing a Cubs hat, and so I was like, hey, what's up, girl? And I showed her my tattoo. She's like, you a big Cubs fan? And I was like, well, I am a fan. But I was like, this tattoo, I actually got it because me and my wife got engaged in Chicago, and I told her the whole story about surprised my wife with a limo. I took her to the number one place to view the Chicago skyline. I proposed as we're watching the sunset behind the Chicago skyline. And dude, she was like, Jordan, that is the most romantic freaking thing I've ever heard. That's freaking amazing. And so when she met my wife,
blah, 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 whatever. It's not that impressive.
When she,
keep going.
When she met my wife, she gave my wife a big hug. And Your husband told me about his romantic exploits or something like that. And I just thought that was so cool that not only did I befriend her and we talked about, you know, how I proposed to my wife, but then she, you know, complimented me to my wife later on. I thought that was really, really cool. Do you know how long Lisa was in WWE? She was there for a while, wasn't she?
Long time. Yeah. I want to say almost 10 years.
Yeah. Ooh, man, I didn't realize that. She wrestled a female by the name of Marty Bell. And yes. Dude, afterwards, and this was not planned. This is from the heart, from Lisa. She grabbed the mic. She grabbed the microphone from our boy, a friend of the show, one of my dear friends that I'm going to tell a big story about here a little bit later. Our ring announcer, Mitch McCoy, and she said to the whole crowd, like, Marty, you know, they're in this stage of my career where I've been around the world, we get nervous about being in the ring with rookies that we don't know. And she said, I will never, ever be worried about a thing again while working against you. She said, you will be on the big screen one day wrestling in front of millions of people. She said, you...
Marty Bell?
Yes.
Marty Bell wrestled for TNA for like 4 years.
Oh, well, I'm just going off what Lisa said.
Oh, okay. My bad. I was like, Marty Bell been on TV quite a bit. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know who Marty Bell was, but I'm just saying what...
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I may have that wrong. When it comes out on TV, we'll find out. Maybe she didn't say rookie. Maybe she said someone that I didn't know. You know what I mean? That I don't know.
And that's a rookie to her. Sure, I get it.
Right. Like, yeah. I get you. Yeah. But Lisa was saying all this and really, really put her over, and it was freaking cool, man. It was really cool. She grabbed the microphone and she just really put her over. And I just thought that was so, so cool, man. It was just phenomenal.
So, you know, Marty Bell wrestled in TNA for a while. She was a part of the Dollhouse with Taryn Terrell, with Mia Yim, Jade back then. they were a three-person stable. She wrestled there for a while. And then she was in the Mayhem Classic, too.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah, so Marty Bell had been on TV a bit.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. Yeah. I actually don't... I don't know. I didn't know Marty Bell. I wish I would have known that, because I talked to her for a little bit. I shook her hand and gave her a hug, and I was just... I told her, I said, hey, pleasure to meet you. This is before her match or anything. I was like, I'm the publicist here at World Class. It's a pleasure to meet you. I can't wait to see your match, yada, yada, yada. And I shook her hand, and then we talked. After I said that, we talked for just a minute. She asked me, she was real cool. She asked me about my job, and then I gave her a little half hug, the bro hug, dipped out. So it was really cool, man. It was really cool. I did not know that, man. I wish I would have known that. I would have talked to her a little bit more. And that's not, I'm not saying, Marty must not be that much of a professional if I didn't know her. She must not have been that popular. That's not what I mean at all. I'm not a huge TNA fan. But that's a huge deal. If you're in TNA, like even in the years that they've put out a bad product, that's nothing to say about the wrestlers. You know what I mean? So that's actually just my fault, man. We got a freaking wrestling show, man. I should be knowing my stuff, bruh. Come on now. Well, yeah, bro.
I mean, you know, I don't watch TNA either, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I was still paying attention to TNA a bit when she was doing a thing over there. And you know, the Dollhouse group was a pretty big group that year. It was kind of like a updated version of the Beautiful People. I definitely watched every minute, every second of the Mae Young Classic. So, yeah.
That's really cool, man. I didn't know that. See, what do I say? Every show, do I not say this? You teach me something new every show. You know what I mean? So,
in fact, if you want to even make it, a smaller world, you know Marty Bell lost to?
Who?
In the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic?
Who's that?
Paul Ellering's daughter, Rachel Ellering.
What?
My world.
That's crazy, dude. That's freaking crazy. This is what, dude, I don't know if you can tell. I don't know if people listening can tell, but I absolutely love this part of the show whenever I learn something new. Because, you know, the two main reasons that I've told this a million times was, or two or three main reasons. The main reason I started this was to help with my sobriety and to be able to talk to other people around the world about wrestling and to learn new things and to even sometimes complain about stuff I want to complain about in the world of wrestling. So
which
does happen a lot. Yeah. but so does learning new stuff. That happens a lot too.
Yeah. I was being a dick.
Oh yeah. So. No, I know. Oh, we know you're being a dick, bro.
I'm pretty good at it, I know.
But yeah, dude, that's so cool, man, to know. I'm actually gonna go back and watch her match in the Classic now, so that's awesome. Next, I already posted a picture about this, but I got to see Jessie Jane, my homegirl Jessie Jane, and I got to introduce her to my wife, and the first thing she said to my wife was, oh my god, it's so nice to meet you, I'm glad we finally met, I've heard so many good things about you. So I thought that was really cool too, man. For as popular as Jessie Jane was, the last two times I seen her, the first time I met her, we probably spent maybe just 10, 15 minutes together. The second time I met her, we probably spent, maybe a half hour together, 45 minutes together. And this time we got to spend a decent amount of time together. But she really remembered the first two conversations we had, me and her, she follows both you and I on Twitter. She's a fan of the show. She's going to be on the show soon. Matter of fact, she told me that yesterday. I talked to her, Saturday was the show, and then I talked to her on Sunday. I sent her some pictures and stuff, and she sent me a message, said, let's do the podcast soon. So I was like, girl, we can always do the podcast. Love for you to come on, because she's awesome. If you watch any of this stuff, she'd posts on her Twitter and stuff about wrestling. She's a very good talker. So, but yeah, it was really cool to get to chill with her and to see her and my wife finally meet. And she actually I'm not going to say who she came out with because I want it to be a surprise, but she came out, and me and her did some ringside stuff during a match, so that was really cool, too. And then I only got to speak, dude, one thing I didn't, that kind of stunk was, it kind of sucked that Swagger was so busy. So many people, you know, he's in his backyard in Kansas, only a state away. So there was a lot, he had a lot, Swagger had a lot of fans, so he was busy. So I only got to give him a quick bro hug while I just seen him for a second. He said, he was like, hey, what's up, Jordan? It's good to see you again. So I really liked that. But I wish I would have got to hang out with him more.
Isn't his wife starting to get into the business too, Catalina?
Well, she wrestled before. I think she wrestled in Ohio Valley. But I don't think
she was just a model, but okay.
Yeah, no, she wrestled for, I think it was back in like 2007-ish, 2008-ish, but I don't think she ever made it to the main roster.
Got you.
but I, dude, I was complaining about this on, I don't know if I put it on Twitter, but I put it on my personal Facebook today. But Lance Hoyt was there, bro, and he came out, and he didn't spit water on all the fans like he does in Japan.
For the record, hold on. If you don't watch New Japan Wrestling, Lance Hoyt, formerly Vance Archer of ECW, and Lance Hoyt from the Rock and Rave Connection in TNA, him and Davey Boy's son, Davey Boy Smith Jr., are a tag team called Killer Elite Squad, if you don't watch New Japan. Because if you don't watch New Japan, I know you're asking yourself, what the hell is Lance Hoyt doing still wrestling? He's a big time tag team in Japan. New Japan Wrestling, to be exact. And one thing he does is when he comes out to the ring, he has like 7 bottles of water and spits it in everybody's face. And it is the most infuriating thing, and it gets him so over. Because Killer Elite Squad are just 2 big brutes that don't give a damn about anybody.
Yeah.
And they play it well. So please, go ahead. Because I know plenty of people wouldn't have even known what you were talking about. Spitting. Why would he spit water in your face? Kind of his thing.
If you watch. The best part
about this story, by the way, if you hear the story, is Jordan's upset that they didn't get it on camera.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the hard cam got it because it was outside the ring. So I'm hoping the hard camera got it or the second handheld got it because I want to see it. But what happened was is he came out and instead of and by the way, I forgot to say this when I was showing my wife a video of who he was. And what he does, when he came out spitting the water, you see people that are not sitting near the aisle. They come running, and they get as close as they can to him, so they get spit on. But if you look at it, a lot of people are kind of scared of him. So they won't look at him directly in the face, one, because they're kind of scared of him, two, and they probably don't want just a complete face full of spit. But they'll get close, and they want him to spit the water on them. Some do.
Be terrified of the dude. It's sad, but it's hilarious at the same time. You can see the poor ladies at the edge of the ramp
who don't want it. Yeah.
It's so funny. If you see the guy come out.
What about the ones that are wearing the surgical mask because they're afraid of germs? And then here comes Lance Hoyt just.
I've literally seen homeboy with some of like the people you're saying that got the mask on. I literally see them take a swig of water, spit, to get another bottle, stay in the same spot, and do it like 3 times to the person with the mask just because they got the mask on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This shouldn't be funny, but it's hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me. But yes, I'm sorry. I interrupt your story.
No, dude. Because you, you made me laugh, dude.
That is hilarious, man.
Yeah, so he didn't come out. He didn't spit it right in my face. He spit it, you know, over. But if I want to see the camera work that I did, because when he did it, I went from pointing the camera at him and I just put my hands out and I just put my face up to let it like land on my face. And I know that sounds gross, but dude, I mean, when you're a diehard wrestling fan like you and I, and you know, we know who Lance Holt is. You know, we know he's a big deal in Japan, and he comes and he works for the promotion that I work for, and he spits water. You know what I mean? I just
let the record show for those listening that you do not have to be a wrestling fan. You do not have to like water in your face just because you're a wrestling fan.
Right, right.
Let the record show. So yeah. While Jordan may enjoy that, I ain't trying to get spit on.
Another cool thing about Lance was is we're going to talk about them here in a little bit, but my boys Marshall and Ross, the Von Erichs, who I've really grown close to since being with the promotion, them two, my wife and myself, all went and ate together. The four of us stopped at a restaurant and ate. Well, in walks Lance, and he came over and said, "What's up?" to us three. I think my wife was in the bathroom whenever he came in, so he came in and kind of, you know, said, "What's up?" to us three, and him and I spoke for a minute, and then him and the Von Erichs spoke for a little bit. And I was like, "Man, do you want to pull it? You want us to pull up a chair?" Because he had seen my wife's purse, so he knew the fourth seat was taken. But I was like, "Bro, come join us." And he's like, "Nah, man, I kind of want to stretch my legs out, so I'm just gonna sit right over here by y'all." And he sat at the next table, and you know, we kind of chatted a little bit. You could tell he was kind of trying to unwind. You know what I mean? So you know, he didn't talk. He didn't talk too much, especially once he got his food. He was hungry. But anyway, as he was leaving, he came over and he, you know, like he fist dabbed us and stuff. And then he had met my wife earlier, I guess, or he did. He met my wife earlier. And so whenever he shook her hand, he said, "Courtney, it was a pleasure meeting you tonight." And she was like, yeah, Lance, it was nice meeting you too. And, when he takes off and my wife just goes right back to talking to the Von Erichs, she was talking to Ross. And I was like, "I forgot that you met Lance." I said, "You know, he's a big deal." And she was like, he is?" And I was like, "Bro, he's a celebrity in Japan." And yep. She goes, "Lance? He's just such a nice guy. I didn't even know he was a wrestler." And I was like, "You didn't see his match?" And she was like, "I don't guess so." And I was just blown away that, you know what I mean? Like, she just, I don't know. She just met, you know, one of the biggest, you know, one of the bigger wrestlers, if not, you know, he's in the category of, you know, more well-known American wrestlers in Japan.
Sure. He's a multi-time
heavyweight
tag champ.
Yeah, three-time IWGP tag team champion, all with Dave Boy Smith Jr. And yep. she just thought it was no big deal. She was like, "That's my new friend Lance."
I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that. That's, you know, if there's anything that I like about non-wrestling fans, is that they're just regular people to them.
Yeah.
You know, we're over here, grown men over here crying and losing their minds just at the mere thought of seeing a guy. And then somebody's like, "Oh, yeah, that guy, he's really nice."
Yeah. Yeah, I really thought that was cool, man. Man, it was so cool. He wrestled Damon Windsor, the second son, Damon Windsor, who came out with his wife, Annalyn Storm. And Damon is the world-class revolutionary champion. He defended his title. I don't know. We might have a new champion. Damon might have won. I don't know. You're going to have to check out the TV show to find out about that. But it was a great match. I'm a huge fan of Damon Windsor. The work him and Anna Lynn do is absolutely phenomenal. I posted a picture of Lance right before their match started, and you can kind of see my arm in the background where I'm doing some camera work, like I said. But no one got that picture of him spitting water on me that I know of so far. But anyway, I tagged Anna Lynn Storm, and this is on the podcast Facebook page. And I tagged Anna Lynn Storm in it. It would not let me tag Damon Windsor's name on the post. So if you want to go like Damon Windsor's page, just click on Anna Lynn Storm's and you'll find a way to like Damon Windsor's page on there as well. So I just wanted to give him a shout out since I wasn't able to actually tag him in the picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But dude, man, just what a awesome show. Prince Mahali was there. Tigo was there. Malika was there. We had a couple of local guys work. Flex Zebra wrestled. Fuego wrestled. Like I said, Jesse Jane was there. My boys, the Von Erichs. the Aero Club and the Von Erichs had another barn burner. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was hard hitting. Dude, those guys, man, those four guys, they get in the ring, and it, to me, it just looks like they just throw mouthpieces in and just go to town. And I'm not saying that it's because they don't know how to wrestle, because they are, all four of them are phenomenal wrestlers. I'm just saying that you can tell it's a challenge to them. Like they want to work as hard as they possibly can with each other. Like they challenge themselves to really step it up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In my head, yeah, it makes sense, but sometimes I don't know if I'm articulating it well. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it makes sense perfectly. Yeah.
Sweet, sweet. But dude, it was a phenomenal night. You know, and I know that when we do World Class Revolution shows on our show here at World Class Radio, a lot of it is my personal experiences, but I want to share those, you know, with our, you know, the thousands of people that listen to the show, because, you know, it's a big, not only is it a big deal to me, but it gives us all a view of how we, you know, how a huge wrestling fan would feel if he just wakes up one day and he's got a job in the business. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I love sharing these personal stories. If it gets to a point once the TV show starts and people want more of a review instead of, you know, just personal stories and stuff, maybe I'll do something a little bit different, do a separate episode for personal stories. But come June 2nd, which is just a few days away, because today is 5/28. May 28th. So once our first show happens on June 2nd, every Monday is going to be a review of our show that happens on Saturday Night Live in Joplin, Missouri on NBC. So don't forget, if you're in that area, be sure and watch out for that. I will keep everyone up to date on how we get it to the rest of the world, whether it be online. It'll be online of some sorts. I just don't know exactly when that'll start, but I'll definitely get that out to everybody. But yeah, so starting Monday, or I guess it'll be next Monday, right? Starting next Monday, the entire show on Mondays, just like it is today, will be completely dedicated to World Class Revolution TV show. So that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun because me and Ray will get to watch it. Because actually, Ray and I have not actually ever got to watch any World Class Revolution together. Now, we've both seen a bunch of online content, and then, you know, I work all the shows, whether on commentary or, you know, something else needs to be done. I wear many hats for the promotion. But so starting June 2nd, like, Ray will get to watch it, we'll get to watch it together and see the same thing. So I'm so excited because, you know, like I say all the time, Ray, you're one of my closest friends on earth. So to get to share this promotion that I love with you for the first time is just freaking cool, man. You know? It's really cool, man. But you're always teaching me stuff about wrestling, about the history of wrestling, about stuff that's happened, why stuff is done. You know, I've had questions about ring psychology and you know, you've answered questions about that because you've researched it a lot. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to help me out with learning different stuff. You know, you gave me tips on how to, you know, locker room etiquette and stuff. I credit Damon Windsor and Annalyn Storm of giving me a detailed rundown of how I need to act before my first day, you know, about hugging people and, you know, just all that stuff, you know, of how to show respect to everybody. And so I truly appreciate them doing that for me. But, you know, I always give credit to you as well for giving me, you know, a couple of tips before I went, just to make sure that I didn't make a fool of myself when I was getting to know everyone. So, you know, I truly appreciate that. And I appreciate Damon and Anna Lynn for doing that too, because they, the three of y'all kept me from looking like an idiot. Because, you know, I might have walked in there and be like, hey, what's up, right? Yeah. And, you know, some veteran be like, who the hell is this guy? You know what I mean? So that was really cool. That was really cool. First thing we're going to do when we talk tomorrow, just to give a brief history of what we're going to do tomorrow, is we're going to talk about, what do you want to, tell them what we're going to talk about? Cause I haven't watched it yet. You watched it on Showtime, I believe last night or Friday night. So you might be better equipped to kind of explain what we're going to talk about before we review Raw.
Well, Mauro Ranallo, the announcer for NXT, he, over the course of the past few years, he has been recording himself for a documentary he was shooting. If you don't know, Mauro Ranallo suffers from bipolar disorder, but it's a very rare form of it that has manifested in him being hospitalized 9 times, once for a full 3 months, to the point. It's so severe to the point where his parents and his family didn't think he'd ever be able to have a functional life. It's been very, very traumatic on his life. It's been very difficult for not only him to deal with, but the people involved in his life to deal with. But whatever you believe in, whether it's the grace of God or just good luck and good vibes, he continues to get opportunities that he's never thrown a resume in for a job, or, you know, never applied for a job. He just keeps meeting people that see something in him and want to hire him, and it's led him to everywhere he's wanted to go. And he's lost opportunities, and he's gained opportunities, and he's lost and he's gained, and what he's had to deal with, and to see him and just truly, purely unadulterated. I mean, like, it's, there is one point he, the biggest moment of his career was when he called the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight. And after the fight, he's back in his hotel room. And, of course, his best friend, who's been the guy recording, and he told his best friend, don't help me. Don't do anything, just record. Nothing. Don't do anything, just record. And he's sitting there, and he's like, man, I had a, excuse my language, but I need to say it the way he said it so you can understand. He said I had such a fucking bad show tonight. And he was like, what are you talking about? This is your best show ever. This is the biggest thing you've ever done. Yeah, I know it's the biggest thing I've ever done, but I forgot my notes, and I just talked regular and I just had a fucking bad show tonight. I just want to fucking kill myself. That's the peaks and the valleys that he goes through, like the biggest moment of his career, and he couldn't even be happy about it because of his illness. And it's a really big insight into people with mental illnesses. My daughter has anxiety and ADHD. So it's nothing to the level of what Mauro deals with, but it's very, you can tell. Like, we've had school issues where we've had to go to the school and handle things. Like, it's so I know it from a smaller scale. But it's a really good insight into the life of a person who's functionally living with a very, I don't say debilitating, but a very affective disorder. And it's a very good insight into mental health and not only having the need to be more in tune with all of our mental health, but it's very important into showing that just because somebody has a mental health disorder, they're just another person just like you. All you have to do is understand. And he did a great job about it, man. Like, I've become more of a crier as I've had kids and gotten older, but like, I'm not the dude just cried anything. Like, at the end of it, I was crying. It was just so emotional. So if anybody out there, I recommend you to watch that. For whatever reason you feel you need to, if you're watching it because you want to support Mauro, if you're watching it because you like MMA and boxing and wrestling, if you're watching it because you want to know more about bipolar disorder, you're just watching it because you want to see a good documentary. All of the above. Tremendous documentary. Super emotional. Super educational. It'll teach you something. It'll make you truly, if you don't love the guy after that, then, man, I don't know what to tell you. Great. It's a great documentary.
That's really cool. That's really cool to hear you say it, you know. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be really cool, man. And thank you for explaining that for all of us. And that's me included because, you know, I've seen the commercials. I've seen the promos for it and stuff, but I did not know exactly everything that it was going to entail. So that just, if I didn't want to watch it before, I dang sure, you know, I really want to watch it now. So I appreciate that. Dude, I had fun, man. I had an absolute blast. Can't wait to watch that show tonight. Don't forget to follow my personal Twitter account at Fox the Podcaster, and the show at World Class Daily. That's World Class DAILY. You can also follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook at World Class Daily as well. World Class Radio. Don't forget to follow Ray's personal Twitter at It's Ray Cash. All this week, throughout the week, I'm going to be sharing personal pictures that I took with my phone about our second or at our second ever TV taping in Wichita, Kansas, at the Cotillion, and sharing more personal stories that we didn't have time for today. Wrestling is a huge part of my life. It has helped save my life, and I've shared, you know, stories about that before. You know, I was on the brinks of death, of overdose, and, you know, or spending time in prison, all kinds of different things. And my wife was there, and finally, you know, she was able to finally get me sober, and wrestling has been my outlet, and has been what I've worked on and what I've enjoyed right before I got sober and the whole time after. And anytime I have a craving where I'm like, man, I really want to get high on pain pills, or I want to do this, I want to do that, I go and I start working on an article for World Class, or working on an article about New Japan for our friends over Social Suplex Podcast Network, and socialsuplex.com, or thechairshot.com. A lot of times I start blowing you up out of nowhere, and I don't even know if I've ever told you that, but I you know, a lot of times, if Ray gets three or four messages from me about random topics in wrestling that I'm asking him so I can learn about stuff, it's to start doing research for a future episode that we're going to do, because I need to keep my mind busy for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to get this yep. craving off my back. So Ray, you help more than you know. My boss, Jerry Bostic, and my other boss, Bry Willingham, they're my two bosses at World Class. They don't know how much they've helped in giving me a career in the business that I love more than anything. So wrestling has played a huge part in me getting over my addiction, me fighting my addiction, me fighting the cravings and everything. So I feel like I owe a lot to wrestling. And I put my heart and soul into World Class, put my heart and soul into World Class Radio. But you know what I mean? I put my heart into World Class Revolution and World Class Radio. That's what I meant by that, into both. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. So I'm glad everyone was listening. We really, really, really appreciate everyone tuning in. I had a couple of people at the Wichita, Kansas, after the show, I two-sweeted them and talked to them for a little bit, and they said, there was five of them that said that they would immediately subscribe to the show. All they wanted to hear was me talk about their friend Blake, and I said, well, what do you want me to say about your friend Blake? And they said, well, he's the only one that we know of that left the show early, because he was drunk and wanted to go downtown and drink some more, so... So Blake sucks. All right, Blake, you suck, man. Why would you leave the show early? Freaking alcoholic. Come on now. So Blake, you suck. Everyone else, we love you much. Ray, you got anything you want to add?
Blake, that was Jordan. That wasn't me. Don't be mad at me. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even know what was going on. No. Yeah, thank you guys for listening. Let us know what you think. Keep listening. Keep supporting. We'll see y'all tomorrow. I apologize if I don't have a whole lot to say about Raw tonight, because there is this thing called Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals between Houston and Golden State. My night's kind of busy.
Yep.
So I apologize to y'all ahead of time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. We'll figure it all out. We'll have a good show as always. For the thousands of you listening, we appreciate it. Thank you for letting our show grow, or helping our show grow like wildfire at just a ridiculous rate. We appreciate it so much. Don't forget, one last time, follow Ray at It's Ray Cash. Follow us both at World Class Daily. That's World Class DAILY. And you can follow me at Fox the Podcaster. That's Fox like the animal, which is also my last name. Like us on Facebook, World Class Radio. Anything else? Can't think of anything else. So watch Raw tonight.
Happy Memorial Day, happy Memorial Day, everybody. Shout out to my grandfathers, one in the Army, one in the Air Force. If you fought for our country and you're listening, thank you. If you fought for our country and you're not here anymore, your sacrifice will never not be forgotten. It will never be forgotten. Did I say that right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing what you, Jordan, thank you for everything you've done for our country and our freedom. Thank you guys.
Absolutely. To everyone listening, and to the ones that we've lost, stay sweet, stay strong, too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?